individualistic command. Have you personally accepted Jesus Christ to be your Lord and Savior? Sometimes it's described that way. Have you experienced this form of spirituality? It's individualistic spirituality. I mean, there's something right about it. We are our own people, right? We are ourselves, and we all have to have kind of an individual response to God. But oh my goodness, look around. Are you here by yourself? Am I here by myself? No. We're surrounded by a community, and it is on purpose that we meet as a community. Saint Hugh. When I was looking at the fall a number of months ago, I noticed that a lot of feast days seem to coincide with Sunday. So we had St. Michael's and All Angels, of course, Thanksgiving, St. Francis, all these wonderful days to celebrate. And then we came to this Sunday, and there was nothing. It was like a desert of feasts. But it just so happened that if I looked really closely at today, specifically today, November 17th, there was a very obscure person that's reflected on or remembered in the Anglican and Roman Catholic churches, St. Hugh. And I was like, who on earth is St. Hugh? So I looked him up and I read a few stories, and there are very few stories about St. Hugh. And most people think that a lot of the stories that are written about St. Hugh probably are just fables anyway. So I'll just throw that out to you. St. Hugh was someone who lived a long time ago, and he was a bishop. Yeah, it means he was a leader of his community, and he helped establish worshiping communities, monasteries, making sure that people were gathered together and in community as they were walking this spiritual path that God called them. And one story stood out for St. Hugh. And if you look at pictures of St. Hugh, icons of St. Hugh, you will always see that he is standing there with a swan, a little white bird, a swan. Not a little white bird, actually a pretty big white bird. And I'm like, what's going on here? And here's the story. The story is that when St. Hugh was consecrated or confirmed as a spiritual leader in his community, a swan came up to him and started following him wherever he went. The story also said that if anyone came to cause St. Hugh trouble, that swan would chase that person away. And that swan stayed with St. Hugh right until St. Hugh died. And then a few years later, that swan died itself. Very short story, very brief story, but what a profound story. St. Hugh had a swan who followed him, who cared for him, who defended him, and who was with him right up until his death. What a friend St. Hugh had in this swan. And I'd like to reflect on spiritual friendship today. It's one of the priorities we have as Christians have, kind of as an antidote to some of that individualistic spirituality that I think a lot of us are aware of, but spiritual friendship. We as followers of Christ are called to live out Christ's ways in community with a group of friends. I'd just like to wonder with you how that might be. How might it be that you are friends of the people next to you? So can I give you just a few ideas? Friends, I think, spiritual friends, make themselves known to the person next to them. Could you turn to the person next to you and say, even if you know them, hi, my name is. Hi, Jeremy, my name is David. Jacqueline, my name is David. All right, that's enough friending. Friends, spiritual friends, ask the people that they've introduced themselves to how they might pray for them. So I'll give you an example. Jeremy, my name is David. Yeah. and I need prayer because sometimes my children get on my nerves. Okay. Turn to that person you just met and ask them how you could pray for them. Jacqueline, how can I pray for you? My children. Yes. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Spiritual friends, having listened to the requests of their friend, who they now know, spend time and pray for them. Take a moment. Lift up that request that your friend has just given you to God. And once spiritual friends have offered those prayers to God, they go back to that person and say, I have prayed for you. So why don't you do that? Jacqueline, I have prayed. Thank you. Spiritual friends encourage each other to live good lives. Here's an example. Jeanette, don't murder anyone. Thank you. Okay. Why don't you turn to the person next to you and, as a friend, encourage them to lead good lives? Have patience. Thank you. And finally, when it comes to spiritual friends, they got each other's backs. Imagine that swan. Someone is coming up to St. Hugh, and that someone wants to do harm to St. Hugh. Maybe tell them that they're not good enough. Maybe tell them that they aren't really God's child. Maybe telling them that they're worthless. Maybe telling them that they should be afraid. Maybe telling them that they should give up. And that swan goes after that person and says, you back off, this is my friend. God loves them. God is with them. They are God's child, and I'm going to defend them. So I want you to turn to the person you haven't turned to, and you say, this is my friend, I got their back. Joe, this is my friend Jacqueline, and I have her back. And in doing this, what spiritual friendship does is it takes the heart of your friend and lifts it to God. So where that heart was once trampled on and felt hopeless and alone on this solitary journey that they have been invited to walk, they now feel what is called hope. They now feel like there's a future. They now feel like they're not alone. And so maybe this exercise was silly, but I think when we go to the gospel now, we'll see why it's important to be spiritual friends. When some were speaking about the temple, how it was adorned with beautiful stones and gifts dedicated to God, Jesus said, "As for these things that you see, the days will come when not one stone will be left upon another. All will be thrown down." Because spiritual friends, once we get to know each other, once we pray for each other, once we encourage each other to live good lives, once we help each other and defend each other, we also start looking at the things that are important and stop being distracted by the things that aren't important. The temple was beautiful. The temple seemed eternal. The temple seemed to be where God was at, and yet Jesus said, "Don't look at the temple. Don't be distracted by things that aren't important." And spiritual friends, help spiritual friends not be distracted by things that aren't actually that important. It's actually not that important. This might sound crazy, but it's actually not that important for you to have a Christmas Eve time with your family where there is no fighting and everybody gets along perfectly. That's not that important. What might be important is that you get together and you fight your faces off. But we don't get distracted by projections of what we think is important. Jesus' followers asked him, Teacher, when will this be, and what will be the sign about that this is going to take place? And Jesus said, "Watch out that you are not led astray, for many will come in my name and say, 'I am he,' and the time is near. Do not go after them." Spiritual friends, and this is very important in this day and age of 24 hours of news networks, this thing called fake news or whatever it is, spiritual friends, help one another not be distracted by misinformation. Here's one of the biggest pieces of misinformation I come across regularly. "I'm not worthy. God doesn't love me. I don't have a future." False. And spiritual friends, help us not be distracted with that false news. Jesus goes on, "When you hear of wars and insurrections, do not be terrified. Spiritual friends stand next to one another in a very scary world where it seems like we once again might be on another road to nuclear holocaust, or once again we seem to be on a road to financial and economic instability. Spiritual friends says, do not be afraid.